to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 935 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out. You know, we talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. Before we get into the main part of the podcast, I do want to send a big thank you shout out to everybody who checked on me after I mentioned the fires in my area. Maybe you didn't listen to the last episode. The Aspen Acres fire got a little bit concerningly close to my area. It wasn't close enough to where we were going to have to evacuate, but there was talks of it coming. Luckily, we haven't had to go anywhere. We're still safe. The fire is still raging. It's almost to 100,000 acres of fire right now, which if you look at it on a map, the size of the fire is bigger than the size of my city. And I don't live in some small, super podunk town. This is a big city. It's got some distance. The fire, if you took the fire and cut it out of the map, it would cover my city with the shape. So that fire is burning still quite rapidly, gaining ground. They've got it under control, but they're talking about years worth of fire mitigation. There's a lot going into this fire. It is huge. It's a giant fire. The sky is a little bit gray and cloudy. It smells like shit around here still. There's ash on my car. It's a little bit weird, but I'm safe. The fire has changed directions. It's going another way toward a city called Canyon City, unfortunately, near Florence, Penrose, that section. If you know anything about Colorado, it's going that way. But I am currently safe. There's no threat for my neighborhood, my city right now. That could change with wind and all that stuff. But currently, and I hear rain right now, so that's a blessing. I just started, rain just started. I just heard it. I actually hear hail hitting that's a window behind me, full disclosure. I hear the hail hitting that. So I'm excited to get some rain and some hail. Hopefully there's not too much wind blowing that fire around. Anyway, I wanted to say thanks to everybody who checked on me, who left a comment, who sent me a blessing. If you're in your prayers, your thoughts, however you wanted to do it for me, I do appreciate that. It was a little concerning, a little hairy for a moment there, but it looks like we're safe. So thank you for the love, for the guidance, for the protection. I do appreciate all of that. I think it went a long way because the fire changed directions. Something did it. The wind. All right, we're going to keep this party moving. Let's get into the fun part of the podcast. At the start of the show, I did say I was going to give away free seeds. Well, this is how you win those free seeds. I do have a website. If you send me a question on that website and I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code where you can get your free prize. I have to be careful about what I say here at the start of the show. So let me just continue on and I'll give you more details in a little bit. The first question came from our friend who wants to be called Cannaba Nerd. I like the name. That's cool. I think I might be a Cannaba Nerd also, bro. This is a good question. Make sure you check your inbox, bro, because you've got a coupon code for a free prize at iRedirect. That's one of the places you should check. It says, brother, I'm a new listener, and I've spent my 12-hour workday blazing through your podcast. Dude, I can't handle 12 hours of me. I don't know how you do that. That's incredible, but thank you for listening to 12 hours of me, however many days a week you could do it. Please mix in another podcast just so you don't get, like, you don't go crazy hearing me too much. Mix in something else. Go listen to some RU Garbage, maybe catch an episode of Legion of Skanks, Story Wars. Go watch an episode of Story Wars. Anyway, I'm high and rambly if you haven't noticed. This one says, I absolutely love it and your awesome knowledge of this medicine. Thank you, bro. I do appreciate it. The question is, once I find a mother plant that checks all of the boxes for me, how long can I keep her around? The answer there is infinitely. If you take care of this plant and learn how to properly feed it, prune it, give it the proper lights, air, water, and soil, and then eventually you're going to have to clone it again and restart that process. If you do that properly, you can keep it infinitely. I've had the Golden Goat since probably 2008-ish. I kept a cut of flow from 2006 or 7 until just recently I got tired of it and cut the flow down. But there are people around. Well, let's think about it this way. What's your favorite cut from way back in the day? It's still around. Somebody still has it. Whatever, like, if you think about we'll do Sour Diesel or Chem Dog or I'd like to say, like, Purple Haze and Acapulco Gold, but I'm sure there's a bunch of different versions of that running around. I want to stick with something a little more modern. like the SFV OG, the San Fernando Valley OG Kush. That's kind of an old school cultivar, not super old school. Old school for some, but that's when the clone only craze, the naming of weed kind of got popular, is around that era. We've had that clone around. Somebody's been keeping that mom around since then. And there's a lot of, think of how many cuts have been around since before you can even remember weed. Like the White Widow, the original White Widow that you remember, somebody's got that. That original cut, it's around. So that means it can live infinitely as long as somebody takes care of it. As long as you grow it, give it proper lights, air, water, soil, take care of it, transplant it when it needs transplants, reclone and start fresh when it's time, keep it healthy, you don't fuck it up, give it any funguses or bacteria or bugs or pathogens. It should stay good forever if you take care of it. Let me clear my throat and we'll get back on track here. All right. How long can I keep it? Infinitely, if you take good care of it and take clones from her before it's time to let her go. You never have to let her go. Like I'm saying, I've got Golden Goat that I've had since 2007 or 8. I've had my Grateful Dog clone, a couple of them, different bad dogs, number 77, the Grateful Dog original. Those have probably been around, I don't even remember what year that was. I was still, that was like 2007, 8, 9, somewhere. I had a traumatic brain injury in 2015, I think that's what year it was. A lot of shit got really jumbled. If you've been listening for a long time, you know that I had a traumatic brain injury. Yeah, I hit my head and almost fucking died. A lot of my calendar got shook up then. I don't know when shit happened because of that. I remember everything by Fish concerts. I know when Fish shows were, and that's kind of how I time stuff up. Got a Fish shirt on right now from Hampton. What up? All right, let's keep this party moving. It says, what light cycle should I keep it on to keep her thriving? All right, so you can keep this plant indefinitely if you do the proper work to it. The first thing I recommend is keep it on 18-6 light, 18 hours on, 6 hours off, or even better if you can, 19 hours on and 5 hours off. Some are going to say why. Some of the more tropical varietal that want to flower more early, like they take off more early, they won't go into flower on you if you put them under that extra hour of light. That'll give you one more hour to prevent an early flowering situation, because some plants, like a haze plant, if it starts to get root bound in a pot, and it knows, hey, I'm root bound, or it gets shaded by another plant, it'll trigger that bad bitch to go into flower. It won't take a lot, some of those plants. The Golden Goat is one of those. If she gets root bound, she'll be like, all right, I got this shit. I know what to do. And she'll go into flower. She's not an auto flower plant by any means if you take proper care of her. But if she gets tight in that pot and she's just a mom plant, you've been keeping her around and she's getting frustrated, she will go into flower. So that 19-6 or the 19-5 is good for that. Then keep them in a large pot. Not even going to edit that. I apologize. Keep them in a large pot. I keep mine in 3 or 5 gallon pots because I'm limited on space. We all are. That's a big enough pot. Keep in mind, the smaller the pot, the more frequent the waterings. Also, you're going to have to transplant it sooner. Also, I like to trim them up. Let me make sure I'm on. Okay, a big pot, give them a medium feed. Don't feed it so much nutrients that they go taking off super big. That's not what we want. 18-6, big pot. I should mention the kind of lighting. An LED light, but not super strong. Like a T5 light is good for moms. We don't need to give them all the photons in the world. We don't want them, like, you can, like, but it's not necessary. Save your electricity. And the faster they grow, the more we've got to prune them and take care of them and do weird shit to them. So if you give them medium light and feed them medium nutrients, get your basic NPK in there, get all the stuff you need, your basic veg nutrients with the little microbes, that's always what I would give your mom plants. That'll keep them nice and healthy. That's all we need, just good, nice, healthy, vigorous growth. Also, make sure you get a good IPM, a good integrated pest management system for your mother plants. The mother plants are the basis of everything. That's where it all starts. When you go to the room to start something, where do you go? Got to go to the mom plants. You got to cut clones. And then that's how it goes, right? Keep those mother plants as healthy as you can. That's the most important part. So 18-6, medium light, big pots, medium feed. Now here's something to think about. Shape them and prune them the way that you need them to be for your needs. How many clones are you going to need from this plant? Do you just need 3 every 60 days? Not a problem. You can make that fucking happen with tiny little plants. Are you doing something big where you're going to need 20 or 50 clones? Think about how to shape a plant. If you take out the main top, what happens? You get more tops. What happens if you top those tops at a node where it makes 2? Think about, you got your main branch coming up, right? And then it's made two shoots coming off the sides. If you take that main out and do that all the way around, all those remaining shoots, now the hormones in that plant will shoot to all those shoots and they will all grow up and become new tops. Cannabis is an apical dominant plant, which means it wants one main top. When you take out the main top, the others go, the king is dead, we shall compete. And they'll all try to be the new king. And then you can manipulate that by learning where to prune and where to cut. And you can create the shape of the plant that you want. That's how you see me making those Volkswagen-shaped fucking mother plants in some of the commercial facilities you saw me in. Just pruning it properly. Take out the top, let it bush out a little, cut lower into the top, let it bush out more, start bushing out the edges so that they expand. You'll learn how to shape it. It's like becoming a barber. The more you cut it, the more you turn that bitch around and cut here, here, and here and watch, you'll see how it grows. Clean up the bottoms a little bit. Keep that clean and safe. Keep some space between your soil and your foliage. Good pest management system. But light cycle to keep her thriving is 18.6 or 19.5. But I think I covered the basics of keeping a mother plant. Once you find it and check all the boxes, how long? Forever. And then what light cycle? 18.6 or 19.5. Big pot, medium light, medium feed, shape it, top it, prune it, keep it around. Once it starts getting like, I call it woody, it'll go from that soft, lush green texture. It'll start getting a little hard, a little stiff. You'll know what I'm talking about when the plant starts to age. Or perhaps you've just cloned the shit out of it and fucking shaped it all goofy and it's all awkward now. Take as many clones as you can. Three or four, maybe five good clones. Get them in your cloner, however you do it. I prefer the easy cloner. Get them going. Pot those. Pick your favorite one. That is now your new mother plant. It's the same exact genetics. You just got a copy that is smaller. It's not all fucked up and it's easier to manage. Also, if you've got a pest issue, this one little tiny plant with seven leaves on it is much easier to manage than a whole room filled with fucking foliage and branches and leaves. You don't need to get under so many leaves and spray and defoliate as much, and there's not as much soil to contain and decontaminate. One little plant, much easier for pest management situations. Dude, cannabinerd, I think I rambled the fuck on about this one. Thank you for the good question. I hope I gave you a good answer. And once again, check your inbox for that free prize. If you want to send your questions to me, the place to do it is Irie Genetics. There's a tab on there that says Grow Help. Hit that tab. If I read your question, you get a coupon code. All right, let's keep this party moving, but make sure to click like and subscribe. This one came from somebody that wants to be called Ben. We're just going to call you Ben. They put their whole name in there. Not going to do that. This one says, longtime grower, I want to try some breeding. I invite you and encourage you to do that. Please do. It says, I live in a four plant state and I can only have two flowering at a time. My goal would be to flower out one plant to smoke and one to breed to itself for seeds. I don't think I understood that the first time I read it, but I understand what you're trying to do, and I see a flaw in your plan already. You're not going to like me. I've been getting a lot of questions about, like, hey, I want to breed and make seeds, but I also want to make seedless weed at the same time. My advice is don't get caught speeding. You're going to get your feelings hurt. So my advice is just do one and then do the other, or stagger them. You don't have to do them at the same time. Learn how to stagger them, and because it sounds like a great idea and it sounds doable, but most of the time you're going to fuck this up. Don't be stingy. Don't try to get too much out of one thing. Just do two separate projects. I know that's fucking murder. I'm not going to have any weed for how long? Yeah, but you're going to have a billion fucking seeds, bro. So it's going to be worth it. That's my theory. But let me continue with your question because I'm a good dude and I do like helping you out. My goal would be to flower one plant to smoke and one plant to breed because you can only have two in flower. I get what you're saying, but there's a flaw coming up. I have separate tents and separate rooms to do this. My question is, here comes the flaw. Is it best to spray all or just one or two branches with reversal spray to get the plant to breed with itself? Now, I know you want me to say you could spray half of it and that will make pollen and you can pollinate the other side. Sometimes that works. But with a lot of the newer genetics, and this is just from experience, I'm not being discouraging. I'm telling you what I've learned, what I've done. I think you trust me, and that's why you ask me. With what I've learned, it is best to do the entire plant with the modern genetics. Some of the older stuff will kind of cooperate trying to reverse one branch. I don't know what happened. We've done something with the breeding to this plant where the more modern stuff is more stubborn on reversals. It's because we're all eliminating the intersex trait. Possibly, I'm not sure what's happening. There's a guy that's going to send me 42 fucking emails. Go ahead, bro. I'm curious this time. I've been deleting a lot of them. This one I'll read. Let me know what's going on here. A lot of the older stuff won't reverse, or a lot of the older stuff reversed more easily. You could reverse one side and it would breed. A lot of the newer shit, you have to reverse the entire plant because if you don't spray the whole thing, they're stubborn and they don't fully reverse. I know that sounds crazy, but some of the newer plants, like you could spray the whole left side and it'll start to reverse and it just won't. It's just like the other side of it's going, nah. And the hormones are moving from the through the plant and this side of it knows. It's like, nah, dude, something's fucking weird. I ain't gonna let that happen. Like I'm a girl. And it's like, yeah, I don't know what you're fucking doing to me over here. And it just doesn't do it. It'll kind of start to, but maybe it'll make anthers and they won't make pollen. Maybe it won't even make anthers. Maybe the anthers will pop open and nothing comes out of it. Maybe pollen will come out and it's a total dud. I know you want to be able to reverse one and do it. Try it. Do it. Enter at your own risk. But not to sound discouraging, but in my experience, it's better to do the whole thing. I know you want to be able to smoke one and fucking breed with one and do it all at once. Reverse one, pollinate another. That's the best advice I can give you. And I know that's not what you want to hear, but as the guy that you're asking that knows the stuff, that's what I would say. Quite simply, don't get caught speeding. Don't try to get more out of a tent, out of a room than what you need. Like just be, don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. That's the words I'm trying to say. Get two crop, make this two different projects. This is two different projects, seedless and seeds, two totally different runs. That's what I would do. You're not me. You're allowed to do whatever you want, bro. But I do think you'll probably end up pollinating the other room. So I wrote down, some are stubborn and won't reverse unless the whole plant is sprayed. And then I said, do what you want, have fun, and be careful, man. That's all that really matters is that you're having fun and enjoying yourself. Let me know what you choose to do, because I want to know if you choose to take one plant and just hit it with one side and see if it works. It could work. Some plants do not. I want you to have success on the first try. I don't want you to get discouraged and it doesn't work for you. So I'm trying to tell you what I think would work on the first try. Let me know what you do. Do you choose to spray one half? Do you choose to spray the whole thing? Let me know what you come up with. And I'm thinking, I would never encourage anybody to break any laws, right? That's not what I would do. You can have four plants, two in flower. We got a lot of things to think about here. Let me just say that if I lived in a state without a plant count, I want to be careful what I say here. Rasta Jeff is a fictional character. None of the shit that I say here is legal advice. He can't hold me accountable. Disclaimer, bullshit. This is for another state where this wouldn't get you in trouble. Here we go. I would just take a third plant and fucking reverse that one. First of all, no one's showing up unless you fucking tell them you're doing something stupid. And if they do, they're going to be confused what the fuck that plant is. It doesn't even look like a weed plant anymore. Like, does that count? Like, I would just do, and it's only going to be there. You only need it for like long enough to vet. You can use one of your third plant. We'll just call this plant number three because one and two are in flower. Plant number three is your veg plant, and plant number four would be your keeper of your clone of your favorite shit. But number three, I would just fucking, you need it long enough to veg it. That's legal. The flowering time, let's see, you only need it, you spray it for a week before a flower if you want, and then you spray it for 24 days. You're only going to need it for 32 days in flower, and it won't even show flower for 14 days. So 32 minus 14, that's how many days your reversal candidate is going to be in your environment in flower. And it's not going to be producing like smokable, usable buds. It's going to be a boy plant. I would, if I were in a legal environment and I wasn't somebody that had a podcast where I'm sure they're fucking paying too much attention, so I got to follow every single goddamn rule, I would almost fudge it. I would, and if that goes wrong, be like, it's a boy. That's not even a female flower. Look in your rules. Look in the rule book. See if it specifies female. That's something to Google. I don't know what state you're in. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. But look and see if it says four or two female flowering cannabis plants. See if that's part of the stipulation. If it doesn't say female, then you got one that's not female. That doesn't count. That's a male that is flowering. That's outside of the wording. Like, the law is the law, and the way the law is written is how it's written. And if you can find a fucking outside, get the fuck outside and play with it. So I couldn't legally tell you to fudge the numbers and do a third one, but if it were not illegal, I'd fudge the numbers and do a third one. And then look into your law and see if that fucking word female flowering plant is specified. If it doesn't say female, you've got a male and you're not breaking any numbers. They don't tell you how many males you can have. They didn't say you can have zero. That's what the law says. It doesn't say zero. So, yeah, I guess. I think that's my answer, dude. That is my answer. But I know you want to be able to reverse that one. I don't know that it'll work for you. And that's like Stone Cold said, that's the bottom line. All right, I've been rambling on this one for long enough. Make sure you check your inbox, dude, because you've got a free prize coming your way from Irie Direct. Once again, if you're enjoying this rambly, caffeine, and dab-fueled podcast, go ahead and click like, click subscribe. I'll make sure to keep more episodes coming. And don't forget, there are 934 other episodes. Well, there are 900 and something because the old YouTube has taken down quite a few of them. Sorry, guys, I can't do anything about it. Anyway, let's keep this party moving. This one was long. I honestly cut out a whole bunch of this question because the first part is about selecting male plants for breeding. I want to do a full episode on that when I'm not caffeinated, when I've got more time to actually give you a solid male selection episode. That's all I'm going to talk about for like 40 minutes is choosing males. So that's coming in a later episode. I will, however, answer this second part of your question. This came from Harvest Johnny. He said, "What up, Rasta Jeff? I appreciate the content. Fight the power and the YT, the YouTube overlords." The other version of YT, YouTube this time. Fight the YouTube overlords. If you know, you know. There is a first part of the question about male plants. We're going to do that later. There's a third and a fourth question. Bro, what are you doing to me? I'm going to read the second part. The second part says, what is the safest way to collect, process, and store pollen? Also, how long is stored pollen viable? All right, I got a little hair on the nose here. This has been a chaotic episode. How long is stored pollen viable? That just depends on how well it's stored, and then not very long is usually my answer. A month to 3 months is as long as I've had any success with it. By the end of 2 months, the pollen just doesn't work. It just starts dying. No matter how well I've stored it, collected it, whatever I've done to it, it just doesn't seem to work. So to collect pollen, get your flowering plant, whether it's a male plant or a reversed female plant. It's got to be dropping some pollen, of course, right? There are a couple of ways to do it. You can get that pollen from the plant. Oh, I found it. It went off my nose and into my mouth. There it is. Look, little kitty hair. Shout out to whoever's cat hair I have on me. That was awkward. I'm not even going to edit that. That's some real shit right there. So you got some pollen. You got a plant making pollen. There's two ways to do it. You can either cut the branches off and put them into a dish and let the pollen come out that way and kind of collect it. Or if you aren't afraid to get some pollen in the air, because it's going to happen this way, you can get a dish, some sort of collection vessel. I'd recommend you can use something as simple as a dinner plate. I've seen guys use the bottom of, if you buy a 12-pack of sodas, or maybe perhaps Mike brought you a case of Doritos, you could use the bottom, that little cardboard tray. That's a great pollen collector. However, the drier the product, the better. Glass or metal is my preferred method. Cardboard is okay, but it contains moisture. You may have caking problems if you don't remove it from the cardboard promptly. Plastic is okay, but sometimes you'll get a static reaction and the pollen will go right in and it will float right out of the damn bowl. It sounds crazy, but static will do some weird shit to your pollen sometimes. I prefer metal or glass. A glass baking dish, a Pyrex dish. It's heavy as shit. You're probably going to try to drop it once or twice, but that is the main thing that I like to use. Get my Pyrex dish. I take my pollen donating plant and I hold the dish and I just tip that plant. I grab the top and give it a bend. Just bend that bitch over and give them a shake. Just blah, 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 and tap it onto that dish. So much pollen will fall out. A bunch will fall out if you got a male plant. Some will fall out if it's a reversal. Just bend it over and tap it. Sometimes I'll leave it sitting upright and get a drumstick and give it a tap and keep the dish underneath it. Give it a tap and all the pollen will fall out. Basically, just get something glass or metal to collect it in and tip it or tap it and the pollen will come out and just collect it. Don't give it a fucking whack. It needs a tap. Like I'm serious. You'll notice if you jostle that plant moving it somewhere, pollen's going to start coming out. So that's all you need. Reversed plants don't make as much pollen, so you're not going to get that cloud, that pollen, that dispersal. Most likely, some do, don't get me wrong, but most of them, they're stingy, they're dry old guys, they don't like to shoot a lot of pollen. So what I would do, in that case is I would take that, I would start with the lower branches just so you could get some practice. Get the branches that got like little pine cones on them, and they should be reversed and they got anthers, and you've seen the pollen, they've opened, pollen is starting to come out. Gently grab above that and clip it really gently. The clip of the scissors is going to jostle it enough to make pollen fall out. You'll be amazed. Grab it above there, try to hold it in place and give it a clip. Then take that clipped bud and set it on your Pyrex dish. And then when you tap it, pollen will come out. But I usually take the scissors and just pet the bud like a kitty. Just pet it back and forth with a pair of scissors. Why do I use the scissors? My fingers get sticky really quickly. I'm using a gloved hand. It gets caked up really quickly. The scissors are metal. It doesn't stick as bad. So I pet the kitty. Just move that bud back and forth and turn it around and move my scissors back and forth. And it'll just knock the pollen right into the dish. And then I'll just get one bud at a time and just slowly do that real carefully. And that's when I'm not getting maximum pollen production, when I've just got just enough and I kind of want to, like, I'm pollen pinching, I guess, is what I'm doing at this point. Just trying to get as much as I can out of those minimal reversals. Because some of the reversals are real stingy, like I said. So you can bend it over and tap it. You could just set it, keep it upright and tap it into a container. You could probably get a dish or a jar and kind of work it into the jar that way. However, you can work the pollen into there. Move the, so like if the microphone is the bud, move the jar up like this and just tap it. Just tap, 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 tap. And tap some pollen into your jar. Just catch it. Or cut it off, lay it sideways and collect it. Also, you can cut it down, cut the branch, lay it on your Pyrex dish, and just let it sit and then let it dry. And as it dries, that pollen will fall out. And then when you're done, just go pet the kitty again with your scissors and even more pollen will fall out. Here's something to think of. The more you pet the kitty, the more anther and vegetative material are going to fall into your pollen. I recommend, and I know this sounds crazy, but either sift it out with a sifter, a powdered sugar sifter, or get a pair of tweezers and pull out all of the anthers and green vegetative material. All of the moisture is bad for your pollen. I've got a swamp cooler right there. I would not put that pollen in this room. I would take it to another place where it's much drier. Try to get it in a cool, dark, dry location. Get it as dry as you can. Get the silicate packs, the desiccant packs, the things that they put in like a box of shoes or some beef jerky to suck up the moisture so you don't get mold in there. Put some of those inside your pollen. I've seen people use dry rice. Don't use wet rice, dipshit. Use brand new dry rice. Put that in the container with your pollen. That will help suck up the moisture and keep the moisture out of your pollen. Once again, the moisture, it doesn't kill the pollen. It does the opposite. It activates it. And once it's been activated, then it dies. So you have to keep it dry, cool, dark, and dry. Get it as dry as you can before you put it into a container. When you put it into a container, put it in with the desiccant packs. It'll suck up the moisture. Do not use a Bovita pack. That's the opposite of what we want. We want it dry. Bovita will keep the moisture in. We want it dry. I need to express that a couple times. I'm not trying to be rude, but a lot of people are driving and they're going to hear it once and they're going to go, oh, I got to put a Bovita pack in there. No, don't do that. Hey, dude that's driving, thinking you took the right note? No Bovita pack. Dry. We want to put a dry pack in there. Dry it the fuck out. All right. To get it super dry, then seal it in an airtight container. Then label it. What plant did it come from? Were there multiple phenotypes of that plant? Was it train wreck A, train wreck B? Is it regular or feminized pollen? Train wreck, phenotype B, feminized pollen, harvested and stored on whatever the fuck today's date is. Actually, it's 7/10. Happy 7/10, guys. Mark all that shit down. Make a good note of that on the pollen container. Then put it in a cool, dry, dark place. If you've got a basement with a safe in there, that's probably a great spot. If you've got a fridge with a crisper drawer, another great spot. A lot of people put it in the freezer. If you can avoid condensation, step into the freezer. That's all up to you at that point. But keep it cool, dry, and dark is my recommendation. Man, I think I rambled on for that one a long time. Let me see where we are. Oh, yeah, we've done a podcast here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, regular and feminized pollen chuckers, All of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, you Irie Army, you Grow From Your Heart podcast heads, really, thank you once again for listening to another episode. I had fun doing this episode. No edits. You're going to see it. We call this live to drive from the time I said yo to the time we wave goodbye. No edits, no clips, no cuts. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Make sure you tune in next week. Make sure you hit the Patreon, patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Nobody likes long goodbyes. Let's get out of here. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Green Ogre Farms. Bro, thank you for the awesome fish hoodie and plenty more fish apparel. Big shout out to everybody in the facility where you work. We'll talk more about that in the future. But big thanks and big shout out to my friend Green Ogre Farms. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and a hug up on the bag. Rasa Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug your mom, be relaxed. Hold up.
Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasa Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. Lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up high.